This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome my dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to this gathering bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, where the topic of discussion, the worst of the worst, the criminals in the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, this last weekend we met, many of us, we were here in this very venue, and we spoke about some of the best of the best. We spoke about Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. We spoke about Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. We spoke about Hassan, the grandson of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were from amongst the best of the best. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this 45 minutes to an hour, we will discuss some of the worst of the worst. You give me some names of people who used to taunt the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know in our lives, we might have someone, for example, every time you do something, they are ready to taunt you. They are ready to pick on you. These bullies around left, right and center. Give me some names of people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to deal with. Some names were? Abu Sufyan, for example, yes. But later on, Abu Sufyan became a Muslim, walhamdulillah. Other names could be? Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, we will discuss, insha'Allah. Who else? Abu Jahl, father of ignorance. Allahumma musta'an. Who else, ya mashayikh? Abu Lahab, yes, uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a family member, subhanAllah, of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who else? Any other names? Those are the famous ones, yes. Are there any others? Yes, in reality, somebody has put together two volumes and he's put together the biographies of about 20 of these individuals. From amongst them, you mentioned Abu Jahl. Also, Utba ibn Rabi'a, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Who was Umayyah ibn Khalaf? The one who used to torture Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, Jayid Umayyah ibn Khalaf, also As ibn Wa'il, Al-Walid ibn Mughira, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, who you mentioned, Sufyan ibn Khalid, Ka'b ibn Ashraf, Abu Lahab, we already discussed, the wife of Abu Lahab, Jamil, the one who used to throw all of this filth in the pathway of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who used to not call him Muhammad, but rather what would she call him? Muthammam. Muhammad means the most, the best one of all, the most praised one. And Dham means the opposite, dispraised. And she would call him Muthammam. For example, we have Musaylima al-Kadhab, the false prophet. We also have Amir ibn Tufail, Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Who was he? The head of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, subhanAllah. He takes away 1/3 of the army during the Battle of Uhud. Before the Battle of Uhud, he says, I don't think there's going to be any fighting. I don't think there's going to be any battle. So I'm taking 1/3 of the army and we're going back to Medina al-Munawwara. The same person who slandered Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he is the one who said that she's fallen into zina. She's fallen into adultery. For about a month, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know whether this news was true or whether it was false. He was waiting for revelation. That was one of the greatest trials that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. Not just on his body, etc., but rather his ird, his honor, his wife, the family, they were also affected. The same individual who, when he passed away, who performed his janazah salah? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed janazah salah over him. The head of the munafiqeen, he would enter the masjid and he would say to the people, he would come late. Imagine what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. Imagine. That's why we are here, to talk about the worst of the worst. We talk about our lives. I have it tough and you have it tough and we go through tough times, etc. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an al-anbiya thumma al-amthal fal-amthal." The people who go through the greatest trials and tribulations, difficulties, disasters, are who? Are the anbiya. And then the people closest to them, and people closest to them. The closer you are to the anbiya, the greater the trials and tribulations you're going to go through. And so he'd entered the masjid. He'd come in late. And he'd say to the people, listen to him, listen to him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving the khutbah, and the guy walks in, but he makes a show. Listen to Muhammad, yeah, it's important, listen to him, listen to him. When he passes away, he says before passing away to his son, that when I die, ask Muhammad for his garment, for his clothing, for his shirt, his vest, and use it as my kafan. Subhanallah. And so the son comes. The son was a Muslim. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, my father had said to me that I should ask you for your shirt, etc., so it can be used as his kafan." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that this man is going to the hellfire. Allah said in the Quran, "Fi darki al-asfali min an-nar," the lowest pits of the hellfire. He knew 100% this was a person who claimed outwardly to be a Muslim, but inside he was an enemy to al-Islam. But we judge by the apparent, yes or no? We judge by the apparent. And apparently he said he was a Muslim. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands to perform the funeral prayer over him. And he had given the shirt to use as the man's kafan. By the way, our discussion was not to cover Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. We're just on a tangent at the moment. Continue the tangent or return back? What do you say? Continue the tangent. Dr. Nick says, no, turn back, turn back. Jayid, ala kulli hal. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood to perform his janazah salah. Umar stood in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, "Ya Rasulullah, you want to pray janazah over this man? You know who he is. You know he's a munafiq. And he's using your kafan, etc. He's using this garment as his kafan, as his shroud." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiles. And he says, "Akhir anni ya Umar. Umar, move away from me." Umar says, "Ya Rasulullah, he slandered your wife. He took away 1/3 of the army. He did this, he did that, etc., etc." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabiyur Rahmah, a prophet of mercy, what did he say? "I was given the choice and I have chosen." What choice? What choice? Allah said in the Quran that if you seek forgiveness for them or you don't seek forgiveness for them, even if you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. So what choice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about? He's stating that, well, maybe if I sought forgiveness for this person 71 times, maybe then Allah will forgive. Subhanallah. Allah said in the Quran, whether you seek forgiveness for them or you don't seek forgiveness for them, seek forgiveness 70 times, we will not accept the forgiveness. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, maybe if I seek forgiveness 71 times, maybe then Allah will forgive the man. Forgive who? The man who slandered the wife. The man who did all of this. Maybe Allah would forgive him. Why? Because Nabiyur Rahmah, prophet of mercy, it doesn't benefit us in the least bit if there's extra one person in Jahannam. Rather, we want everyone in paradise, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. There's no shortage of real estate in paradise, is there? Any shortage? No shortage, inshaAllah. And that's more the merrier, inshaAllah. So, ala kulli hal, we return, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, our topic of discussion, similar criminals like Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. We begin with the head of the criminals. We begin with the father of ignorance, Abu Jahl. His full name, Abu Jahl Amr ibn Hisham ibn Mughira al-Makhzumi al-Qurashi. He was from the Quraysh. And we say Abu Jahl, his kunya is father of ignorance. But in reality, amongst the Meccans, he was not known as father of ignorance. The Muslims called him father of ignorance. What would the Quraysh, what would the Meccans, etc. call him? Abu al-Hakam, father of wisdom, subhanallah. Because he was an intelligent man. He was somebody who was very, very famous. He was somebody who people used to look up to. But all of that intelligence did not bring you to al-Islam. All of that intelligence still took you to worshipping idols and others besides Allah. So you're not really intelligent. You're not really intelligent, rather you are jahil. You are the father of ignorance. Abu Jahl Amr ibn Hisham. So his name was Amr and his father's name was Hisham. His father was a famous individual. His father, in reality, when the father passed away, the Arabs used to remember dates based upon that father's death. You know, the Arabs, how would they remember dates? Am al-fil, the year of the elephant. Major event in the year, thus they would remember the year by that event. And so, Sulaiman was born, they would say, for example, Sulaiman was born in the year of the elephant. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. So and so was born 3 years before the year of the elephant. So and so died 2 years after the year of the elephant. Year of the elephant was a major event, yes or no? Yes, and so the year that the father of Abu Jahl passed away was also a major event. He was someone who was very, very generous, somebody who had a high standing in society, etc. So they would remember dates. So and so was born 2 years after the year that Hisham had passed away. So he comes from a family of high ranking, etc. He had a brother by the name of Harith ibn Hisham, and he was on the side of the enemies at Badr and Uhud, etc. But later on, the brother of Abu Jahl, after the conquest of Makkah, which was in what year? In the 8th year after the Hijrah, he had embraced Al-Islam. So the brother of Abu Jahl became Muslim after the conquest of Makkah. As for Abu Jahl, from the day he heard about Islam till the day he died, he was an enemy towards Al-Islam. He was like, what are you coming with Muhammad? You are disuniting the Arabs. We were all united upon, you know, our idol worship. We were all united upon this and that. But now you are breaking up families. This one's a Muslim and this one's not a Muslim. You are breaking up the fabric of society, etc. You are changing things. You are making matters which we felt were the norm. You are now stating that this is not acceptable, etc., etc. And so, you know, this, you are rocking the boat basically. And so he did not accept and he did not like that. Once the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated near the Mount of Safa. We know the mountain of Safa and the mountain of Marwa. What do we do between them? We make the sa'i. Why do we make the sa'i? In remembrance of who? Remembrance of Hajar, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the mother of Ismail alayhi salam. Excellent. Jayid. And so we make that sa'i between the mountain of Safa and Marwa. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was near Safa. And Abu Jahl saw him. And Abu Jahl started to swear him and irritate him and slander him, etc., etc. So Hamza, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was gone out hunting or whatever. When he got back, his slave servant came to him and said, you know what happened when you were away? You know, your nephew Muhammad, he was seated there. And this is what Abu Jahl said. Obviously, they were calling him Abu al-Hakam at the time. This is what Abu al-Hakam said, Amr bin Hisham. He said, Muhammad, you are like this and you are like that. And in public, he was slandering him, etc. Hamza was not a Muslim. But obviously, this is my nephew. You don't go around swearing him and slandering him, etc. Right? We have the tribal alliance. You can't just do this. And so Hamza was extremely angry. And he came to Abu Jahl. And he swore Abu Jahl back. And he says, you do not interfere with my nephew, etc., etc. And how dare you interfere with him? Because I also say whatever he says. And I am on the same religion as he is. Side note, Hamza was not a Muslim at the time. But because you're interfering with my family, well, whatever he says, I say the same. Hamza just said that in defense of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not Muslim. The point is, look at how Abu Jahl was the reason for Hamza becoming Muslim. Hamza just said that in defense of his nephew. And he says, after I left, yeah, I said I'm a Muslim. I said I'm on the same religion. Then technically, I mean, you know, lying is not a good quality. And so I had to, you know, then become a Muslim. And so then his heart was opened up to Al-Islam. And then the realization of the haq of Islam dawned upon him. And he became Muslim. Walhamdulillah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ya mashayikh, he would make dua. O Allah, guide to Islam one of the two Umars. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and then we have here Abu Jahl. What's his name? His name is Amr. Very close. One is Amr ibn Hisham, and the other one is Umar ibn al-Khattab. Oh Allah, guide to Islam one of these two individuals. Why? Because they were high ranking, because they were intelligent, because they were strong, because people followed them. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for the leaders. If the leader becomes Muslim, then the followers will also join. Yes or no? Maximize. You could stay on the ground for a long time, but if you get someone on the top there, change can happen very much faster. Yes or no? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Taif, etc., he did not start with everyone on the street, but rather he went to the tribal leaders first. Yes or no? Get them to embrace, then everybody below that's going to follow suit, usually insha'Allah. So he makes dua, one of these two to embrace al-Islam. And who does Allah love? Whose heart was closer to al-Islam? Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, and thus Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an embraced Islam. Side note, even Umar himself, he was not somebody who was yalla bismillah, all fantastic, and you know, people thought, wow, he'd make such a good Muslim, and he was going to become a Muslim very soon. We know the story, that female was leaving Makkah due to the oppression, and then she met up with Umar, and Umar told her, okay, go well, etc., you know, safe journey. And he did not harm her. She went to her husband and she was like, you know, maybe Umar might become Muslim. What did her husband say to her? What did her husband say to her? She had some like hope, maybe Umar would become Muslim. Her husband said to her, Umar's father's donkey will become Muslim even before Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. They could not fathom that Umar would ever become a Muslim. He was an alcoholic. He was doing everything wrong, subhanAllah. He was the individual who, he is beating that slave, beating her and beating her to leave Islam. And she was firm. And then eventually he stopped beating her. And he says to her, I'm not having mercy upon you, but rather my arm's paining, that's why I stopped. My hand's paining, that's why I stopped, subhanAllah. If someone like that can become Muslim, George Bush, inshaAllah, there is hope. Jayid, hayyakum Allah ya mashayikh. Jayid. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, after he became Muslim, what did he do? Look at this, ajib. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua, either Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, or Umar become Muslim. Umar became Muslim, and what's the first thing he did? He announced, etc. And then he went to Abu Jahl's house. He knocked on the door because himself and Abu Jahl, they were related through his mother, through Umar's mother. He was related to Abu Jahl, knocked on the door, and eventually Abu Jahl opened up the door. What do you want in the middle of the night, etc.? I just came to say to you that, you know what, I've become Muslim. And so Abu Jahl says to him, قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَكَ. You know, may Allah destroy your face, you know, may your face be ugly, etc. You know, you came to inform me about this, you woke me up in the middle of the night just for this, and he shut the door, and Umar then left. So he was a criminal, and subhanAllah, who was the first martyr in al-Islam? Sisters, first martyr in al-Islam was a female. What was her name? Sumayya. Who was the one who killed her? Abu Jahl. What did he do? He took his spear and he shoved it and he attacked her and he poked her where? Through her private, subhanAllah. Jayid. That's how Sumayya, the first martyr in al-Islam, got martyrdom at the hands of this criminal, Abu Jahl. Allahu musta'an. With regards to Zinira, who was this female slave, he is beating and beating and beating her until eventually something happened and she lost her eyesight. She lost her eyesight. So Abu Jahl says to her, yeah, it's because you left idol worship. It's because you left idol worship. Now the idol of Lat and Uzza, you know, they are angry with you. And thus they've taken away your eyesight. She was firm upon al-Islam. And she says, no, Allah is the one who gives sight. And Allah is the one who's taken away my sight. And if Allah wants, Allah can restore my sight, etc. After some time, her sight was restored. What did Abu Jahl say? He says, this is the sihr of Muhammad. This is the black magic of Muhammad. Because they called him a sahir. Yes or no? They called him a sahir. So they said, this is the black magic of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on, Abu Bakr purchased Zinira and he set her free. Ridicule. He would, for example, say about the verse, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ, that with regards to Jahannam, etc., we have these 19 angels which would grab these people. So Abu Jahl would say, what do you mean 19 angels? Jahannam, 19 angels. I mean, myself and the Quraysh, we number over 100. If 19 angels come for us, we will overpower all of them. What is this Quran, etc., you're talking about 19 angels? We're stronger than them. With regards to the tree of Zakum, which Allah talks about in the Quran, that tree of punishment, people would drink it and how they would suffer after drinking it, this tree in Jahannam. He would say, what is this? That's punishment? I know that tree. That tree is outside Makkah somewhere. You know, you can go to the tree. It's just an ordinary tree. Nothing special about it, etc. Allahu musta'an. Look at the istihza. Look at the sukhriya. Look at the mockery. Allahu musta'an. Eventually, when his brother, Jayid, he had a maternal brother by the name of Ayash ibn Abi Rabi'a. He had a maternal brother, Ayash ibn Abi Rabi'a, who became Muslim. And this brother and Umar, they left Makkah together and they began migrating to Medina al-Munawwara. Are you with me? Abu Jahl's maternal brother, only linked up through his mother, and Umar, they migrate together, and they almost entering into Medina al-Munawwara. And who catches up with them? Abu Jahl and Abu Jahl's full brother by the name of Hisham, who we spoke about, and we said later on in history that Hisham will become a Muslim. Are you with me? Harith ibn Hisham, rather. Harith ibn Hisham. They have their maternal brother who became a Muslim. Are they happy? No, they're sad. They are angry. How can he ever? I mean, if other people become Muslim, it's one thing. Our own family members, our own maternal brother, what does he think? They tracked him down. When he's entering Medina, they come catch up with him. And they say to him, you know what, please, you need to come back to Makkah. Our mother, she's crying and she's so sad. And she's taken a vow that she will not stand in the shade, but rather she will only stand in the sun until you come back. She will not even comb her hair, etc., etc. Jayid, Arab behavior, etc., we've got no time to discuss. Anyway, point is, she's made this vow and she said, I'm not going to do this and go in the shade. So they say to him, you know, the one who's Muslim now, you know, please just come back to Makkah. You know, then at least our mother, she can break this vow. She can go in the shade and she can comb her hair, etc., etc. And we're not interested in you. You can come back to Medina. We don't worry. We're not cared about the matter. Umar says to him, please do not be tricked. This is a trick. They just want to capture you, etc. So he's like, my mother, my mother, my mother. Until eventually he says, I need to go back. And so Umar gave him Umar's camel and says to him, if you find anything suspicious from them, you know, you can just dart off very quickly. This camel's very fast. And so they were on the journey. Abu Jahl and the other brother got the better of him and they dragged him back to Makkah al-Mukarrama. And they would say that this was a fitna which got the better of Ayash. Take note, Ya Mashaykh. It was a sign of a person's iman at that time that you migrated. It was not just an option, a choice that you had. If you were Muslim, you were not supposed to stay in Makkah. You had to migrate to Medina al-Munawwara unless you did not have any means whatsoever. If you had the means, you had to migrate. You know the verse of the Quran, etc. They say, no, but we didn't have the means. Allah says, but the angels come down. But the earth of Allah was wide. You had many places you could go to, etc. So Ayash was now in fitna. He returned back to Makkah. They tortured him, etc. And he remained there. He thought that, you know, his tawbah would not be accepted. Later on, when certain verses of the Quran were revealed, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar wrote down this verse and he sent it in a letter to his friend Ayash. Ayash read it and he realized that, you know, the doors of mercy are open for him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also make dua for Ayash until eventually Ayash then migrated and he came to Medina al-Munawwara. Point to note is, look at how determined Abu Jahl was. Look at how determined he was. Brother became Muslim and went all the way to Medina, caught up with him there and brought him all the way back. As many a person says, that with regards to Muslims, you know, we have a deen, one haq, etc. You know, it's there, it's pristine, it's fantastic. But we don't have men. And other groups, etc., they have men, but maybe the religion, maybe the standards, maybe the ideology, etc., might be flawed. But they have men who would sacrifice, people who would go and live in the jungle and do da'wah in this place and that place for years on end, 20, 30 years, etc. But we have the haqq, but we don't have men. Allahu musta'an. Also, Abu Jahl, there was this congregation, like a small parliament in Mecca. They used to call it Dar al-Nadwa, where they used to all gather and discuss and deliberate over matters. So he was there, and they said, what do we do with Muhammad? People are migrating to Medina al-Munawwara, we need to do something. And so they came up with the idea of killing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, assassinated him. As Allah says, إِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan their plot, etc. But Allah is the best of planners and plotters. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated, and then Abu Jahl was caught unaware. He went to Abu Bakr's house. Who answered the door? Who answered the door? He comes to the house of the Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and he knocks on the door. Asma opens up the door. And Asma was pregnant at the time. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, her sister, she was pregnant at the time. She was not a small girl, etc. She was pregnant. He asks her, where's your father? And where's Muhammad? She says, I don't know where they're gone. Obviously, she was keeping it a secret. I don't know where they are. What did he do? He slapped her across her face. Allahu musta'an. How do we know she was pregnant? Because we know later on when she migrated to Medina, she gave birth to the first muhajir. The first of the muhajirin kids who was born in Medina al-Munawwara. And that was her son by the name of Abdullah ibn al-Zubair. Na'am. Jayyid. With regards to the Battle of Badr and Abu Jahl, we know that the caravan was with Abu Sufyan, he was with the caravan, and eventually the caravan was saved, yes or no? The Muslims tried to attack it, but they were unsuccessful. So the caravan got saved. And when Abu Jahl heard about this caravan story, he went out, etc. And he says, you know, we're going to fight Muhammad. Abu Sufyan says, well, the caravan's saved now. You know, there's no need to fight. We can go back to Makkah. Abu Jahl says, absolutely not. This is a golden opportunity. We will go out and we will finish Muhammad and his group, etc. We'll put an end to them. He brought out the woman from his family. And he's brought out a lot of animals, etc. He himself, he slaughtered 10 camels for the people. He says, we'll go there to Badr. We'll stay there for 3 days. We'll slaughter Muhammad and his people. We'll sacrifice and we'll have a nice good time. We'll have merrymaking and then we'll come back. So this was all of his idea. But وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know Battle of Badr was not a planned Badr. It was not a planned battle. Rather the Muslims went to, you know, intercept that caravan. But Allah wanted battle to occur, and battle occurred. In the Battle of Badr, we had two youngsters. One by the name of Mu'adh, and one by the name of Mu'awwidh. They were the two sons of a female by the name of Afra. And they asked about Abu Jahl, because everybody knew the first martyr was who? Was Sumayya. And who martyred her? This criminal. So they would ask, where's Abu Jahl? Where's Abu Jahl? Until eventually someone showed those two youngsters, that's Abu Jahl. And then they went up to him stealthily. And eventually they got hold of him. And both of them attacked him. But it was not a fatal blow. He did not die. Later on, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud found him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud did whatever was required to then put him and close up the chapter in that matter. With regards to this criminal, Abu Jahl, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in an authentic hadith, هَذَا فِرْعَوْنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. This is the Fir'aun of this ummah. Abu Jahl was the Fir'aun of this ummah. Also, ajib, subhanallah, we know اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. The surah towards the end, Allah states, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. Until the end of the verse. Have you not seen the person who prevents our abd, our slave Muhammad from praying? Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in salah in front of the Kaaba. What are we talking about, ya mashaykh? We're talking about the trials, the tribulations that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. We're talking about when I look in the mirror and you look in the mirror, etc. And we sit and contemplate about our life and how difficult this, that, whatever it might be. Think about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, out of his 7 children, 6 of them passed away in his lifetime. Yes or no? 6 of his 7 passed away during his lifetime. Only Fatima lives after him. And she passes away 6 months after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. Had it been that, you know, if your life is going all fantastic, brilliant, etc., you know, this is a sign that Allah loves you, etc., and all is good for you and Jannah is waiting for you, then technically we would say the Prophet ﷺ has the opposite. Maybe another place is waiting for him, not Jannah. Because he went through so much of difficulty. Yes or no? Yes, subhanAllah, Jayid. But rather, the opposite is true, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those that he loves. Jayid. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making salah. Abu Jahl comes to him when he's in sajda and he says, did I not tell you, you're not allowed to make sujood here? He's in ruku. Did I not tell you, you're not allowed to make ruku here? And that's when those verses were revealed. How can you, have you not seen the one who prevents our abd from making salah? Have you not seen the one who prevents our abd from going down in sujood, etc.? And if he does not desist from this, then we will seize him and we will catch him and we will give him whatever he is deserving of. Allahu musta'an. That was your mashayikh, the father of ignorance. His kunya was Abu Jahl. Allahu musta'an. We go through another biography bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, and that's the biography of the torturer of Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an. What was his name? Umayya ibn Khalaf. Excellent, ya doctor. Umayya ibn Khalaf ibn Wahab. Al-Jumahi Al-Qurashi. He was the torturer of Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an. Bilal became Muslim. Bilal was Abyssinian. Bilal was a slave. Take note, Bilal was a slave. For Bilal to even think on his own and decide to choose another religion, decide to do whatever he wants, etc. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Jayid. For Bilal to even think, but innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. Naam, jayid. Jayid, hayyakumullah. For Bilal to even think on his own and to decide that I want to follow another religion, I want to be on a religion other than the religion of my master, was a crime. Are you with me? Because I will think for you. You can't think on your own. You are owned by me. I own you in body and I own you in mind. So when Bilal became Muslim, this was a radical step on his path. And so Umayya used to catch him. Umayya used to take him out to the desert and used to torture him severely. And you all know Bilal. What would Bilal do? Bilal used to say, Ahad, Ahad. Jayid. And this would only irritate his master even more. And the master would torture him even further. And what would Bilal say? If I knew words which would irritate my master more than Ahad, I would have mentioned those words. Jayid, Bilal says, if I knew any words which would irritate him more, I would have mentioned those words. But Ahad was doing the job and he would torture me even further. And on a side note, during the battle of Badr or the battle of Uhud, can't remember right now, but the war cry of the Muslims was also Ahad, Ahad. You know, when they rushed out in battle, they were all screaming Ahad, 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 which was the same words of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an when he was being tortured. Who found Bilal there? Abu Bakr finds him. Just like how Abu Bakr found that slave Zinira, whose eyesight was taken away and then returned, Abu Bakr purchased her from Abu Jahl and Abu Bakr set her free. Now Abu Bakr finds Bilal and he offers to purchase Bilal. He says to Umayya, why are you doing this to this man? Why are you doing this to Bilal? Umayya says, you people did this to him. Don't blame me. You people, you Muslims got him in this position, etc. And so if you want to do something, you purchase him. And so Abu Bakr purchased him and set him free. And some narrations mention that Umayya says to Abu Bakr after the deal, you know, you bought him for so many uqiyya, so many dirhams or dinars. If you offered less, I would have definitely accepted. Abu Bakr responds and says, if you asked for more, I would have given more, subhanAllah. Jayid. And in another narration, Abu Bakr says to him, you know what, I have another slave who's on your religion, I will do an exchange. You give me Bilal and I will exchange with another. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Umayya once comes to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says, O Muhammad, you know what, let's negotiate. You know, let's leave all of this fighting and arguing, etc., breaking up the fabric of our society, etc. Let's negotiate. One day you worship our Lord, and one day we will worship your Lord. One day you worship our idols, and one day we will worship your Allah, etc., etc. What surah did Allah reveal? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. Say to the disbelievers, etc., I don't worship what you worship, and you do not worship what I worship. No doubt, there's room for negotiations, etc., but there's also points, there's also matters which are non-negotiable. I worship your Lord, so you worship my Lord, one might say, and you might have people who might say, but you know what, there's maslaha, and there's benefit in that, at least Allah is worshipped for half the year. Yes or no? Someone might say, and you might be at people today saying that, you know what, I mean, if these people says we worship the, you know, we do their shirk, and they do their our tawheed, etc., you know, at least half the year Allah is being worshipped. But no, there can never be any negotiation with regards to a matter of, the matter of shirk. Also, you know, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of this filth was put on his back, when he was praying in front of the Kaaba, Umayyah ibn Khalaf was also seated there. And those cronies, Abu Jahl, Umayyah, etc., when they saw all of this on the back of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best man who walked the face of this earth, lack of better words, they were like falling down over each other in laughing. Laughing and making a mockery of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at him, all of that filth. I mean, you know, we hear it, but it doesn't really register in our minds. What are we talking about? We're talking about an animal which died a few days ago, was slaughtered. It's smelling, stinking, odorful, intestines being taken, all that blood and filth, and put on the back of the Prophet ﷺ while he's in Salah. And they're laughing over one another. Allahu musta'an. So Umayyah was there. We're just describing what a criminal Umayyah was. Also, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, as per Sahih al-Bukhari, he was in Mecca and he met up with this Umayyah. After the Hijrah, he comes there and he meets up with Umayyah. And they got talking, etc., with regards to something. And then he says to Umayyah, you know what, don't talk too much. I mean, you know, you think you're too great, etc. I heard Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I heard him saying that you will be killed. I heard him saying that you will be killed. And now when Umayyah heard this, he was a bit worried, because they all used to call Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam what? They used to call him what? They used to call him Al-Amin. So they all know that he is truthful. And so subhanallah, if for example he says you're going to be killed, the man is now worried. That's why at the battle of Badr, when the people came to Mecca and they says, come on, let's go and save our caravan. Abu Sufyan is calling for help, we need to help the caravan and save the caravan. This Umayyah was reluctant to go out. He says, no, no, you people go, I'm not going out, etc. I'm sure the caravan will be okay, it will be safe. Why was he reluctant? He was afraid, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that this person would be killed. And then obviously Abu Jahl, etc., and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, who we'll talk about next inshaAllah. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, what did they do? Abu Jahl and Uqba, they come to him and say, you are a woman, you're a woman, here's some itr. In fact, they said, you know, here's some itr and some perfume, rather you put it on, and because, you know, you remain behind here in Mecca, you're a woman, you cannot fight, etc. So obviously now, you know, they convinced him that he needs to go out, and he left Mecca and he went out. He went towards what? He went towards his death. As has been said, wherever your death is written, Allah states in the Noble Quran, that wherever you are, death would surely find you. This man knew that Muhammad said, I would be killed. But the people convinced him, you have to go out, you're a woman. How can you not go out and fight? He went out, and we'll discuss, he was eventually killed. Similar to that story that they mentioned about Sulaiman alayhi salam. What was that story? That Sulaiman alayhi salam, I don't know the authenticity of the story, but it's a good story. Sulaiman alayhi salam seated in his gathering, and he has this one man there, and we know he had power over the jinn, etc. So this man is seated there, and across him there's another, you know, group of people, and this one guy is just staring at this man, just staring at him. So he was a bit afraid. Why is this man looking at me like this? So after the Dars lesson, he goes to Sulaiman and he says, Ya Sulaiman, Ya Nabi Allah, you know, send me somewhere, because this man is looking at me like this. You know, I'm a bit afraid. He looks dangerous. You know, send me somewhere. So Sulaiman alayhi salam had the man transported to where? To India, to Hind or somewhere like that. Later on, Sulaiman met the one who was doing the staring and asked him, why were you staring? He says, I am Malak al-Maut. I'm the angel of death, and I was staring at him because, as per his taqdeer, he's supposed to die in like 10 minutes from now in India. And I'm thinking what he's doing here in Palestine, etc., in Sham. How's he going to get to India? I'm supposed to take his life in India, but he's sitting here in your gathering. But subhanAllah, look at how Allah plans things. This man looked at that man staring. Ya Nabi Allah, send me somewhere. He was sent to India. What came there? Malak al-Maut was waiting for him and the angel of death took his life. So here Umayyah went out and he went towards his death. He was captured. He was captured. He was a prisoner. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, you know, had taken him as a prisoner and gave him some sort of protection. But when Bilal saw him, Bilal saw his former master as a captive. Bilal said, "Oh Ansar, here is Umayyah, and we got no treaty, etc. You know, he's a prisoner or whatever, You know, I'm not worried about all of that. We are at war here." And so when Bilal screamed out, the Ansar came left, right and center. And people, you know, it was just chaos. They all attacked Umayyah left, right and center. And Umayyah and his son, they were both killed. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied with regards to this individual. After he was killed, we know the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken the bodies of those who were killed, and the Muslims were obviously buried, and the enemy, they were taken and they were dumped in this well. But Umayyah was rather large in size and he could not fit in the well, and so, you know, they just put him somewhere else. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed all of the dead. He spoke to the dead. Jayid, he addressed them and he said, "Oh Utbah ibn Rabi'a," who was a criminal. "Oh Shayba ibn Rabi'a," another criminal. "Oh Umayyah ibn Khalaf," another criminal. "Oh Abu Jahl," you remember we already discussed, Abu Jahl was killed where? By those two youngsters in the Battle of Badr. So he addressed all of them. And then he said, "Have you people found the promise of Allah to be true? For verily I have found the promise of Allah to be true." Jayid. Umar says, "Ya Rasulullah, you're talking to dead bodies. I mean, you're talking to dead bodies. I mean, how can you address them, etc.? They are dead." So that shows us, you know, the aqeedah of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, upon the fitrah, that the dead cannot hear by default. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "No, O Umar, right now they can hear. Right now they can hear." And that's why many a scholar put this hadith in the chapter of the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that generally the dead cannot hear, but in this instance, Allah gave them back the faculty of hearing so that they could hear this point. This would be like punishment upon them, a regret that, "Oh, have you found the promise of Allah to be true? Because I found the promise of Allah to be true." And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done this, and that was the end of the Battle of Badr. And before this, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made dua, etc. He would say, for example, "Allahumma al'an Shayba ibn Rabi'a wa Umayyah ibn Khalaf kama akhrajuna," because they kicked us out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. You all remember Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was leaving Makkah, he turned around. He loved Makkah. The Makkah, most beloved of earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns around and he says, "You are the most beloved of places to us," etc., etc. But, and had these people not kicked us out, then we would have never ever left you. Jayid. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua against these individuals because of them kicking the Muslims out of Makkah. Many a mufassir also states with regards to the surah, "Wailul li kulli humazatil lumaza." Wailul, wail, is a valley in Jahannam. Wail also means woe, Jayid. Woe to li kulli humazatil lumaza. What is humaza? The one who curses. And he curses you to your face. He picks on you, etc. to your face. You know, he's got no shame whatsoever. To your face, he would slander you. Many a scholar said this was with regards to Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Wailul li kulli humazatil lumaza. And lumaza is the one who backbites you, etc. Picks on your family. He picks on your nasab, but he does this behind your back. And both of this applies to this criminal by the name of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. So where was Abu Jahl killed? He was killed in the Battle of Badr. And Umayyah, where was killed? Also at Badr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied that Umayyah would be killed. Hayyakumullah. Jayyid. Doctor is already worried about time here. So we move on, insha'Allah, to the third of the biographies, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And that is another criminal by the name of As ibn Wa'il ibn Hisham, ibn Hashim rather, al-Sahmi al-Qurashi. His name was As. What does Isyan, what does Asi mean in Arabic? Means the one who is disobedient. This individual, his name was Al-As. Jayid Al-As, which means the disobedient one. Allahu musta'an. So he had his name and he had a share of his name, no doubt. This guy, Banu Sahm, they were in charge of the money which was given to the idols. So, mashallah, fantastic job they had. They would obviously collect all of this money. So take note, it's not in their interest to ever become Muslim, is it? No, if we're the ones in charge of collecting all of the money which people give to the idols, obviously we're not going to become Muslim because we're going to lose all of that money. His family, etc., also part of tahkim, the negotiations, if there were any problems amongst the Meccans. And this criminal, As ibn Wa'il, criminal of the first order, once, for example, he bought something from an individual from Yemen. And when the individual wanted his money now, you know, it was bay'at taqsid, you know, you pay later, etc. So when the time came up for him to pay up, he's not paying up. And he's saying to the person, no, just now, etc. And he's messing around. And then the Yemeni went out in public and he made an announcement. Oh, people of Makkah, I've dealt in business with this man, As ibn Wa'il, from you people here, the Meccans, and he's messing me around. So then the Meccans got together and they came up with this agreement, this alliance called Hilf al-Fudul, which if there's anyone being oppressed, anyone comes to Makkah and he's being oppressed, etc., we will all stand against this oppression. We will all stand in his aid. The point is, it was due to this criminal As ibn Wa'il that this alliance had to be made because he was messing around with the people. Another time, for example, there was an individual who became Muslim. And As ibn Wa'il, the same story, you know, not paying up. Khabbab ibn al-Arad, As ibn Wa'il not paying up. So when Khabbab asked him, please pay up the money, he says, no, first you disbelieve, then I will pay up your money. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses that have you seen the one, you know, who does all of this criminal behavior? And so this verse revealed about this criminal, As ibn Wa'il. Probably the most interesting part about this criminal is, you know, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son passed away, number one Qasim, then after that Abdullah, then eventually who? Ibrahim passed away. What did they call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Al-Abtar. Abtar meaning the one who's cut off. The one who does not have any legacy. The one who does not have any male offspring, etc. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Allah said in the Quran, verily the one slandering you, he is Abtar. What was the story? This criminal here, according to Imam Al-Qurtubi, this was the guy who said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abtar after his sons had passed away. In fact, the story goes that he was entering somewhere with a friend and he says, where's Abtar? You know, he's calling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam Abtar, but not to the face. You know, he's talking to his friend, where's Abtar? Is Abtar here today? Where's Abtar, etc.? Take note of this miracle. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't hear it, yes or no? But Allah heard it. And Allah revealed in the Quran, verily the one who is talking about you, he is Abtar. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even know about this. So that day is a miracle in and of itself. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know that the man called him Abdar, but Allah, so maybe this guy is like, where did this revelation come from? I mean, how did you know that I called you Abdar? I was in private with this man and I called you Abdar, etc. But still, the man was adamant and stubborn and did not become a Muslim. And still it's a miracle, why? Because Allah called him Abdar, cut off in the Quran, and he still never thought of, hey, you know what, maybe I should become a Muslim and prove Allah wrong, you know, that I'm not cut off. I am a Muslim. Similar to Abu Lahab. Are you with me? Do you understand how this is a miracle? Allah said about Abu Lahab that he is going to be in the fire. Allah called As ibn Wa'il cut off. If they wanted to prove to the people of Makkah that, you know what, Muhammad's a liar, Muhammad doesn't know what he's talking about, they could have just lied and said, you know what, we are Muslims. So your Quran is wrong because your Quran says we're going to Jahannam, but we are Muslim now. But it never crossed their mind. Their pride prevented them from even doing that. Allahu musta'an. Jayid. And so this was the individual who said to the Messenger, or said about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are Abtar. Imagine what a great wisdom it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name is Muhammad. He was originally named what? Ahmed, and then it was changed to Muhammad. Muhammad means the most praised one. We might have mentioned this previously. Someone might say, Muhammad is a terrorist, Muhammad is this, Muhammad is that, etc., etc. Translate the full sentence into English, what does it mean? The most praised one is a terrorist. The most praised one was a bad one. The most praised one was this and that. Your sentence does not even make sense. The beginning of the sentence contradicts the end of the sentence. Yes or no? Because you're calling him the most praised one, and then you say something bad about him. Contradiction in the sentence. Great wisdom that how? SubhanAllah. Out of all names in the world, that name was chosen for him, the most praised one. And that legacy will continue. As for this man, asked Ibn Wa'il, who knows about him, etc., etc. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is mentioned from the minara 5 times every single day. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu jayid wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah in the adhan jayid. And so his legacy continues. But As Ibn Wa'il, he was as his name, he was and Asi, he was the disobedient one. How did he pass away? He got off his animal, etc. He was traveling somewhere. He was bitten by a scorpion or something. And then he passed away soon after that. As Allah said, Inna kafaynaka mustahzi'een. Verily we are enough for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to those who slander you. And thus this person was taken care of. As we said, he was like his name. Just 2 more short biographies, inshallah. We have time, Dr. Isa? Hayyakumullah. Jayyid. Criminal by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. We spoke about him in the weekend course a lot, walhamdulillah. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, his kunya was Abul Walid. This individual was the neighbor of Abu Lahab. And who was their neighbor? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Lahab was one neighbor and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it was his other neighbor. And both the neighbors were criminals. Both the neighbors were criminals, subhanAllah. Abu Lahab and his wife used to obviously throw all of this filth, etc., at the doorstep of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's walking, trouble him and cause harm upon him. And Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, the same story, he would do the same. Until eventually Uqba once, or maybe more than once, even feces he would throw in the pathway of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in his younger days, he used to work for this Uqba and he used to graze the animals of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. Once, for example, Urwa, who was a tabi'i who studied under Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he asked Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anha, tell me about the greatest punishment trial that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. Give me an example, you know, that you know of an example where, you know, he really suffered a lot. So Amr bin As narrates, he says, once Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing salah in front of the Kaaba. Ya Mashaykh, what difficulty do we go through? What difficulty do we go through? We go to a shopping center, maybe it's time for salah. You know, I'm a bit embarrassed. You know, where I'm going to make salah? You're in the parking area, etc. You know, what would people say if I make salah here, etc.? You know, you want to hide, etc. Go underground, etc. and make salah. Allahu musta'in. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making salah in front of the Kaaba. This criminal, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, comes. And while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salah, from behind he begins strangling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot manage and his face is all red. Nobody comes to his aid except Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Bakr comes and he pushes this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it away and he says, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّي اللَّهِ. Do you want to harm a person? You want to kill a man just because he says that Allah is his Rabb? Just because he says Allah is his Rabb? SubhanAllah. And it was around that time that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and also then, you know, he was severely tortured. So here, Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying, and this criminal Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he tries to strangle the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from behind. Another time, look at this, that's the first time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in salah. Another time, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in sajda, and then he comes and he starts trampling the face of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, puts his toes, his legs, etc., his shoes on the head of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this other time about this criminal, Jayid. No doubt, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah, he was somebody that people looked up to, yes or no? And that's why they hated it so much. Because you were Al-Amin. You were somebody that we had great hope for. Up to the age of 40, you were with us. We put you when we were disputing about the Kaaba, who should put the black stone. We said, you should be in charge and you should judge. After all of this, we gave you so much of place and pomp and, you know, position, Muhammad. Now you come and divide us up. So that's why they hated him so much. Uqba once invites the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his house for a meal. He had some walima or something. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but I mean, you know, you should become Muslim, etc. You know, then I'd be more willing to embrace, to come to your gathering, to come to your walima. So Uqba says, no problem, I'm Muslim. I'm Muslim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You'll come. Yeah, I'll come now, inshallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nice and happy. Uqba became Muslim. Jayid. But remember also, many of these disbelievers in the early days of Makkah, as Allah says in the Quran, in the morning they would say, I'm a Muslim. And in the afternoon they'd say, I'm no longer a Muslim. This would discourage other people from becoming Muslim. Because if this is a high-ranking individual, intelligent man, he's this, he's that, etc. So he says, I'm a Muslim. But if the afternoon he left Islam, so the others in society would say, I mean, there's no point in becoming Muslim. If this intelligent man, this clever man, this rich man found no good in Islam, then obviously there's no benefit, no point in me even considering it. Are you with me? So it was a fitna, Allahu musta'an. Uqba says, I'm a Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted from him. We judge by the apparent. And he went, you know, to that walima. And then Allahu musta'an, another criminal, maybe if Allah gives us life, maybe in another gathering we'll talk about his biography, Ubay ibn Khalaf. Another criminal by the name of Ubay ibn Khalaf. He was also there. So he says, what is this Uqba? Oh, what do you have Muhammad here for? And what is this I heard that you are Muslim, etc. Look at how these criminals, you know how we say, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى and collaborate with one another upon good, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ and do not collaborate, etc. upon wrong and evil. They were collaborating upon wrong. You know, if you're taking the right path, no, my brother, you need to come back. Why are you going to the right path? Why are you going to that gathering? Day. Oh, suddenly you're so pious now, mashallah. One Ramadan came and you're reading khatam of Quran and now every day you want to wear hijab, etc, etc. No, no, take it easy. You're still young. You're only 40, etc. Life only begins when? Life begins at 40, Allahu musta'an. But the question is, what ends at 39? Anyway, off the topic, point, ya mashayikh. Point is that Ubay ibn Khalaf, he says to Uqba, what is this I hear you're a Muslim? And what's that guy doing here? What's Muhammad doing here? I will not eat with you, etc. My face is haram upon your face if you keep Muhammad here. So Uqba, Allahu musta'an, jayid, birds of a feather flock together. So what did he do? He went up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of everyone and he spat on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id went up and he spat on the face of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, you invited the man, he is there, he's at your gathering, but because, you know, I mean, I'm with this guy here, I mean, if this guy thinks that I'm, you know, off track, I need to make sure where my alliances are. I need to show where my alliances are. Spat on the face of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left that gathering. Remember, this was the early days of Makkah, retaliating, etc. No, you hit whatever, we show you the other cheek or whatever. That was how the Muslims were in the early days. We already mentioned he was the one who, this is the third time now. First time Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making salah, he began strangling. Second time, he tried kicking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third one is what? He was the criminal who brought the intestines and put on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his name? Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id. They were sitting, Abu Jahl and Umayyah and all of them. They said, look at Muhammad making, look, what's he doing there? And you know, yesterday there was that animal slaughtered there. Who'll go there? At the edge of town, because people wouldn't slaughter in the middle of town, it would smell. At the edge of town, who'd go there? You know, bring it, carry it, all this journey, all of this way, and put it on Muhammad. I'll go. Uqba, you know, wants to go, and he's so eager. Eventually they say to him, yeah, you go. And he goes, he brings it, and he puts it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They fall down laughing over one another. Even the narrator of the story, he says, I couldn't go forward and help the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because I was afraid of my life. Until Fatima, the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, young girl, Prophet ﷺ remained in that sajda position. She came and she was the one who removed all of this from the back of the Messenger ﷺ. And then when he stood up, Prophet ﷺ made dua against them. He said, Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl. O Allah, you know, to you, you deal with, you sort out Abu Jahl. Alayka bi Abi Jahl wa Utba ibn Rabi'a wa Shayba ibn Rabi'a wal Walid ibn Uqba wa Umayya ibn Khalaf. We already spoke about Umayya ibn Khalaf. He died where? After the battle of, or in the battle of Badr. Jayid. And then Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua with regards to this individual. By the way, when they heard the dua, where's the dua? The dua is made by Al-Amin. The dua is made by somebody who says he's a prophet. The dua was made in front of the Kaaba. These people respected the Kaaba. This was the haram. So they got a bit shocked. They got a bit frightened when they heard this dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Uqba, he also went to Medina. You know, let me check with the people of the book. There's Jews, etc. in Medina. Let me go to them. They have a scripture. Maybe they'll give me some information about this Muhammad. Let's see what they got to say. So he goes. He meets up with them. They say to him, ask this Prophet Muhammad, whoever he might be, ask him three questions. What questions? The first one, about the people of the cave. Second question, about Dhul Qarnain in Suratul Kahf. And the third question about Yas'alunaka anir ruh. They ask you about the soul. This was the individual who went all the way to Medina. Let me get some information. Let me dig up some dirt on Muhammad. He comes back with the three questions and Prophet ﷺ answers all of them. But still, he was not satisfied. Jayid. At the Battle of Badr, we already discussed this Uqba, when Umayyah did not want to come out and fight, what did he say? You a woman. Here's some ithr. Put on some perfume. Perfume yourself. Remain behind here in Makkah. Look at what a criminal he was. And then Umayyah came out, and Uqba, etc., also there at Badr. He was captured after the Battle of Badr. He was a major criminal. Although we know after Badr, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ransomed most of the prisoners, yes or no? He ransomed them. You teach the kids, etc., how to read, how to write, etc., ransom, etc., and so, but except the major criminals. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it was a major criminal, and thus he was put to death. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the one who was ordered to execute him. And thus, that's how he met his end. Allahu musta'an, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When a non-Muslim passes away, when a criminal passes away, are we allowed to say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Yes, we are allowed. Because the meaning of it is, to Allah we belong, and to Him we return. And all of us are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us are His slaves, whether one recognizes or whether one does not recognize. And Dr. Isa, in 2 minutes, inshallah, the last biography of Jamil. Who was Jamil? Because, I mean, we can't leave the sisters out, Jayid. I mean, give a female a chance, Jayid. Have to be just, Jayid. So, Jamil, alright, Jamil, criminal from amongst the worst of the worst. She was the wife of? The wife of Abu Lahab. Allahu musta'an. And Allah mentions her in that surah. Allah talks about her, Jayid, about herself and the husband. Jayid, she was the one, by the way, her name, Jamil bint Harb bin Umayyah ibn Shams al-Amawi, Jayid. Abu Lahab's wife. She was the one who used to put all of this filth in the pathway of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thorns and filth, etc. She would call him Mudhammam, the dispraised one. And that's why he would say, for example, you know, look at how Allah protected me from their slander. They slander Mudhammam. They say Mudhammam this, Mudhammam that. Where's Mudhammam? What's he up to? But I am Muhammad and I am not Mudhammam. So Allah protected me because they're not slandering Muhammad, they are slandering Mudhammam. Jayid. Also, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first got his revelation, we know that revelation ceased for some time. Jayid. He got the early revelation and then revelation ceased. And then later on, wadduha came down. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. We have not abandoned you. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Iqra, after Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, revelation ceased. So he thought, what happened now? Allah deserted him, Allah's left him, etc. Then later on, the surah Wadduha, Wallayli Idha Saja, Ma Wadda'aka Rabbuka wa Ma Qala. We have not deserted you, we have not abandoned you. In the meantime, this Jamil, the aunt of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would she come and tell him? Oh, your shaitan has not left you. Your shaitan has left you. Your shaitan's not coming any longer. No revelation you got, Jayid, because Jibreel would come to him. So what she's saying, oh, your shaitan hasn't visited you recently, etc., etc. And so Allah revealed, Allah sent down that revelation. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And some narrations are that she eventually met her end, just like how Allah talked about her neck and she's carrying all of this, etc. Some narrations we have that she, how did she meet her end? How did she pass away? She suffocated to death, just like how, you know, a play on the verse of the Quran where Allah talked about her carrying all of this filth, etc., to harm the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on her back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. One last point, and that is Abu Lahab and his wife, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got revelation, what did they order their sons to do? One son was Utbah and one son was Utaybah. These two sons were married to two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So technically, she was the mother-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two daughters. And Abu Lahab was the father-in-law to two daughters of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ordered their two sons, divorce the daughters of Muhammad, let them suffer. Who's going to marry them, etc.? He must think twice before he comes with this new ideas, etc. Now his two daughters come back home and he has to see to them, etc., etc. But Allah had a better plan. Jayid, what's the verse of the Quran? Inna ma'al usri yusra. After difficulty comes ease. Jayid, Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he married one, Ruqayya, and then later on he married Kulthum, and thus he was called Dhun Nurain, possessor of the two lights. The benefits we get out of this, ya mashayikh, talking about the worst of the worst, etc. Number one, it puts context when we understand who this individual was. Because many a times in the seerah we'll talk about Badr so-and-so did something, Uhud so-and-so did something, and in Makkah this criminal did that. But if we talk about their biography, then we understand how criminal the man was. He did this there, and he did this there, and he also did that there. So we put context to it, and we can understand it holistically. Also we understand that we should never ever be complacent that my name is Bilal, and my name is Muhammad, or my name is Sumayya, etc. You know, Jannah is guaranteed for me. Here we had people who were related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an uncle, an aunt. We had a man who people used to say he's the father of intelligence, he is the father of wisdom, Abu al-Hakam. But subhanallah, look at their arrogance, their pride, etc., their stubbornness. Where it got them, it did not get them far. Rather, it got them to a place which was not desired. Also, we find that, you know, a person could be an enemy to Al-Islam. Like, for example, Umar, but there's always hope. And look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Jahl was an enemy, but he would still make dua for Abu Jahl to become Muslim. So we never ever lose hope. We also have those who are oppressed. Like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stated, that help the one who is oppressed and help the oppressor. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean help the oppressor? Help the one who is oppressed from removing the oppression, and help the oppressor by stopping his oppression. And with that, ya mashayikh, I thank you all. Jazakumullahu khayran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting here in our scales of good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all khayr and barakah in this world and hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease your studies. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you beacons of light that other Muslims around you look up to you bi-ithnillahi ta'ala and take you as a role model, insha'Allah. We will all go through difficulties. Life without difficulty is not life. Jayid, we only appreciate the good times if we have bad times, if we had difficult times. If we had no difficult times, then in reality we would not appreciate the good times. Jazakumullahu khairan. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Just from my side, I want to thank Dr. Isa and the ISOC, or the Islamic Society of Monash University. Hayyakumullah, jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.